we approach the holiday of Sukkot is to talk about something I think is relevant for all of us. When we talk about the Sukkah and Yeshiva B'Sukkah and sitting in the Sukkah on Sukkot is such an important and beautiful and wonderful mitzvah, but there are some exemptions. And I thought we'd talk about the exemptions, especially some that are especially unique but very relevant and questions that come up a lot. And I want to share with you some interesting things that I found and that I've dealt with. And let's start from the beginning. Let me show you. We have the Shulchan Aruch here on the source sheet. This is the Code of Jewish Law you have here in Orach Chaim, Hilchos Sukkah, Simen Tav Resh Mem. And the first thing it talks about there is a sick person, a chola. Is a sick person required to sit in the Sukkah? So here's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Cholim Misham Shemehen. A sick person and those attending to them, paturim in a sukkah, are exempt from the requirement to sit in the sukkah. V'lo chol sheyesh bo sakana, and not just someone who's dangerously ill, like they might die, ela afilu chash berosho. Their head doesn't feel good. They're feeling unwell. Chash be'enav, or their eyes. V'yesh misha omer she'en hem sham shemim paturim ela b'shasha chol tzarich lehem. Some say, actually, though, the one who's attending to the patient's only exempt from sitting in the sukkah at the time that they're attending to the patient. But obviously, if they're not attending to the patient at some time, the patient's sleeping or they're taking a break, at that time, they might be actually required to sit in the sukkah. Umi shemekiz dam chayav basukkah. So too, someone who's doing bloodletting is required to sit in the sukkah. That's number one. That's the requirement of a sick person, the exemption from someone who's sick from sitting in the sukkah. However, there's another one. This is called mitzta'er patur min sukkah. Someone who is discomforted, uncomfortable. That person is also exempt from the sukkah. Hu velo misham shemav. That person, but not those who are caring for them. Avah b'layla rishona fila mitzta'er chayav lecho v'kisham kazayis. But on the first night, even someone who's not feeling well, that person is required to sit in the sukkah the first night. That's when it's there, right? So that's when we are strict about it. Ezehu mitzta'er, who's considered someone who is just uncomfortable. The she'enu yachol lishim b'sukkah mipnei ruach, someone who can't stay in the sukkah and sleep there because of the wind, or mipnei hazavuvim, or because of flies, va'peruhushim, or fleas, akotibahem, or mipnei reach, or let's say it's very bad smell there. V'davka shebalo atzar b'mikra, only if the tzar just happens, the pain just happens to come to the sukkah. After they built the sukkah. You can't put the sukkah in a place where you know it's going to be very windy or where you know that it's very smelly and then just say, oh, I guess I can't sit in the sukkah. No, no games like that. You have to sit. It's only if you've already built the sukkah and then you realize, oh no, it's something's not turning out well there, okay, then you're no longer required. By the way, why the difference between a chola, who's totally exempt, and a mitzta'er? It's very similar. They're also exempt. What's the difference? So Rabbi Soloveitchik explains, let's go straight to that source first, actually. I put this as number four in this new book that came out, Bate Yosef, quoting the opinions of Rabbi Soloveitchik, it says, "Ha'ir Rabbeinu shepatur chola shonimim patur mitzta'er." There is a difference between the sick person that's exempt from the sukkah and the uncomfortable person who's exempt from the sukkah. What is it? Shamitzdar patur davka imatzar balo al yedeha yeshiva basukkah. Mitzdar means that somehow sitting in the sukkah causes the person to be uncomfortable. V'im yashiv beveso yinatzel mizayatzar. But if they would go inside their house, they will no longer be in pain. So in that way, they are not required to stay in the sukkah. V'rak b'kai gavna patur hu min sukkah. Masha'en kein b'chola. When it comes to a chola, she'ptur min asukah, af im yargish oso choli kishiyeshi veveso. But a sick person, we say, even if they will still feel sick in their house, they are allowed to go inside because they're sick and they just can't handle being in the sukkah. They need to get in bed or whatever it is. So for a mitzvah, it has to be that it's actually the pain of the sukkah. Being in the sukkah causes them some kind of discomfort. There's an interesting taz that asks about this whole issue of the mitzta'er. What's going on here? This helps us understand what's going on here. Let's read this Taz. The Taz argues in his commentary here. He says the mitzta'er is patur min sukkah. The ke'ein dira bai Ve'ein derech b'nei adam la'amod b'diras. So, but sorry, okay, you have to, the sukkah is supposed to be like your house, and you don't stay in your house if you're not feeling comfortable. Ken kasa mordechai b'shem ra'im. Ve'kasha, pshita, lama yifater k'she'ein lo tsar b'sukkah, tfei mibeso. It shouldn't be any difference in your house. Dezeh havale le'imar be'ein lo tsar b'shnehem. Dilma yivatel mitzvah sukkah b'chinam. Because then you're just going to, you know, you're just going to leave the sukkah for no reason if you'll also be in tsar in your house. V'yeshlomar, desalka daitach, the time of the pitur b'mitztayar mishum de'ikr mitzvah sukkah lahazkir inyan sukkah. You might have thought that the whole point of the sukkah is to mention the topic of the sukkah. The point of the sukkah, right? Shne'amar ki basukos hoshavti, that you were brought out of Egypt and in the desert in sukkahs, and you have to concentrate and meditate on the whole concept of being in a sukkah. V'zeh mistar hu tarud b'tzaro. But the one who is uncomfortable, they are tarud, they were literally distracted by their pain, therefore they can't concentrate on the kavana of why they're sitting in the sukkah. So since they are tarud b'tzaro, ve'enu sam alibo l'zeh, they can't think about the reason they're in the sukkah, al kenu patur. So you might have thought that that's the reason why they're patur. Kamash malan, the taima eno bishvil zeh. It's not, that's not the reason, is about the kavana. Ela shekein dira be'inan. It's because you have to have the sukkah as if it's your home. Vein adam dar b'makom tsar. But a person does not dwell in a place that's causing them pain. Kol sheyuchal linatzel mezeh b'tseiso. As long as they can leave, they will not stay in that place. So hachanami b'sukkah. So when it comes to a sukkah, it's supposed to be ke'ein teduro, and therefore the way you live your whole year, and a person won't live in a place that causes them pain. Okay, that's the concept of mitzdar patur min sukkah. Someone who's in pain is not required to be in the sukkah if the sukkah itself is causing them pain. But that's mitzdar. The examples we gave are there's bugs there, it's too windy there, something about it is simply uncomfortable. You know, there's flies, there's fleas, it's smelly. But these are physical pains. It just makes it annoying to be there, and you'd rather just go inside your house. But so now my question is, what about if the sukkah would cause some kind of emotional pain? Could that be exempted? Could you imagine it? I mean, interestingly, I looked in Rabbi Yoni Rosenzweig's new book, Nafshi B'Sheilati, which deals with mental health and halacha, on the section on sukkah. And he talks about, you know, if someone's putter from mitzvos because they have the status of a shota, meaning their mental health is severe and they're not therefore required to fulfill mitzvot, are they allowed to sit in the sukkah? And he shows why they still could sit in the sukkah if they'd like to. He wants to show when they can sit in the sukkah. My question is, when are they not required to sit in the sukkah? Maybe even, you know, we say don't sit in the sukkah. Could such a situation come up where mental health tells us not to have a person sit in the sukkah? There's an interesting piece that Rabbi Hershel Schechter writes in his last sefer on the Hanhagos of a Soloveitcher called Divrei HaRav. He says something interesting. He says, interesting case, he says, V'chein titit echad mi rabbanim ha-reformim mi Divrei HaRambam. One of the reform rabbis said about the Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah, Shem mitzdar putem in a sukkah, where when it says that someone who's mitzdar is exempt from sitting in the sukkah, he said, V'hu adin nami l'chol mitzvos ha-Torah. That applies to everything in the Torah. So a modern person could just say, look, I'm mitzdayer, psychologically, but often psychology, regarding these ancient, antiquated commandments that don't apply in our times anymore. Someone can make that argument, oh, I'm mitzdayer from any mitzvah. And he said, no, v'ha'ir b'zeh rabbeinu, shema shemitzdar patur min ha-sukkah, pashut mevor b'gemar shehu adin. This halacha is, miyuchad davka b'sukkah, v'lo shaykh b'chlal l'kol ha-torah kula. This exemption of mitzdar only applies to the sukkah. It's a unique din when it comes to sukkah, not when it comes to other mitzvahs in the Torah, and therefore you can't expand it so far. V'af b'sukkah, and even when it comes to the sukkah, gedr mitzdar shepatur hainu b'tzar ha-guf. That's only physical pain, he argues. So that's only when it comes to physical pain. Aval lo b'tzar psychologi al kiyum mitzvos she'enam mivinim. but not when it comes to psychological pain, those types of things. That's not the issue. When it's psychological pain, that is not included in the tsar. So that's not considered tsar, and that's allowed. So now my question is, does everyone agree with that? Does everyone agree that when it comes to tsar from psychological reason, that is not required, that does not give that the exemption? That's what he seems to be arguing, but maybe that's not fully agreed upon. Okay. And then I'll present the sources and then we'll discuss. And of course, share any questions or comments or insights as you have them, and we'll discuss them. But let's look at a source that shares a different perspective. And this is a fascinating source. This is called Shas and Chuvus Betzela Chochma. Betzela Chochma was Rav Betzalel Stern. He was a Hungarian posek before the war. He lived in Hungary, and he was a big posek even in his 20s. He was already publishing responsum. And then he moved to Australia, actually, after the war, then eventually to Vienna, and then he died in Jerusalem in his final years. And here's a really interesting question he was asked. I'm really curious to hear your opinions and your take on this and what you would say. So he says as follows. Al das misha machmas choliav derech achilaso mishuna miod. Somehow, because of this person's illness, their way of eating is very strange. They have to eat in a very strange way. But kimas fasav hotzaos lishona miod. Like their tongue like falls out of their mouth as they're eating. So they look very strange. And they're embarrassed by it. Mishum kach humit bayesh leachol bifnei acherim. So therefore, in front of others, they are embarrassed to eat. Therefore, they never eat in public. They never eat with other people. Not even a sudas mitzvah. They get invited to a bris or something, they don't go. Because they know if they eat, they're going to be so ashamed of how they eat. And it's embarrassing to them. But here's the problem. B'mekomo, in the place where they live, kimat ve'ein sukkah pratit. No one has private sukkahs. They probably live in like some kind of urban area where there's only high-rise buildings, and they just have one shared sukkah. Rak sukkah achas bechatzar beis knesses. The shul, the synagogue, has one sukkah, and that's for the whole community. Everyone has to share it. V'chol b'nei akihila ochlin sham sudoseim meshech kol yimei achag. Everyone goes there to eat their meals at the synagogue, in the synagogue sukkah. V'amnam, chatzar beis knesses, eino petucha rak zman katzar. But the synagogue only allows their sukkah to be open for a limited number of hours. Umiyad im kalos hashah kavulakach, and as soon as those hours are over, shamash basic neses, atzmin maher lisgor et achatzer. They go and close it right away. They go and close the courtyard. Ketotza mikach, so therefore, nimsaim meshech kolaz mana katsarsha sukkah betucha, in those few hours when the sukkah is available, is open, anashim soadim besukkah, everyone runs there to eat. Lazos nishela shela. That's why the question comes up. Im ishahu pater milecho basukkah mi ne habusha. He's going to be so embarrassed eating the sukkah. Is he now exempt? He can only go in that small time. He'll have to eat around other people. The kamom shemitzdar pater min sukkah. We already said if someone's mitzdar, like by bugs or weather or things like that, they don't have to eat in the sukkah. So does that apply to them being embarrassed? Who I didn't misbaish? Does that imply to imbaish? Or should we just say, or delma mitzdar dafka? No, it's only if they are uncomfortable. A valo misbaish, but not if they are embarrassed. And we should just say, you know, don't be embarrassed. You can't be embarrassed to do a mitzvah and get over it. What do we say? And I'm really curious to hear any opinions you might have about this or any thoughts. Let's start to look at his, but you know, just please share if you have any opinions. This is a conversation. So first of all, he quotes, he says, his first comment is Hadavar Pashut. He says, to me, it's obvious. It's simple. De misbayesh chashiva mitzdayer. Embarrassed is mitzdayer. That's also considered uncomfortable. De mali mitzdayer mipnei geshomim. What does it matter if it's because of rain, machmatzina, or cold, sheriv, or heat waves, zavuvim, or flies, reyach ra, or bad smell, kai gavna, all these things. Umali mitzdayer machmas busha. How is that different than embarrassment? Anything that the sukkah, being in the sukkah, causes you to be uncomfortable, it's whether it's physical or whether it's emotional. It all applies. It's all the same, which I think is fascinating and profound and also very sensitive of him. So he says, so let's see, does he have any sources for this or is it just his feeling? So he says, for example, look in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Amud Beis. The Tanya says there, Migra Adam Gidle Tsoa Vigidle Maka Shal Bisro Bishvil Tsaro. A person can like scrape off excrement or like scabs from their skin. The Gemara there says you can do it if it's for the sake of discomfort. If you're in pain because of it, you could scrape it off on Shabbat, on Shabbos. But not if it's just for beauty. Like you're just embarrassed. Oh, I don't want to walk around with a scab. So to me, that doesn't look nice. So I'm going to scrape it off. And that's a violation of Shabbos. But if it's not comfortable, if it's painful, you could scrape it off. That's what the Gemara says. But then Tosos adds there. Tosos says, "Vim ein lo tsar acher elishim is bayesh leilech bein bnei adam shari." You can't do it for yofi, for beauty. But if you're embarrassed to walk around with that dirt on you, the excrement on you, or with the scabs on you, therefore, then you can scrape it off on Shabbos because of embarrassment. So this seems to be exactly that. Tosos is making exactly this point. Embarrassment is enough of a reason, and that's for Hilchos Shabbos. And then he writes, "The ein lecha tsar gadol mizeh, tsar gadol mi busha." That's considered tsar. There you have it, right there in that Tosos. And Rav Vital Stern then concludes, Hari de busha ein lachar tsar gadol mimenu. Busha is considered tsar, and therefore that's mitzar. And by the way, Sefer Chinuch says this as a mitzvah deraisa. One of the mitzvahs deraisa, and Sefer Chinuch writes in mitzvah reish mem, shelo lahalbim pnei adam mi Yisrael. You cannot embarrass someone. And that's a mitzvah, shelo yabayish echem Yisrael. Shorshim, and the root of that mitzvah, not to embarrass other people, is shorshim mitzvah, yedua lefisha boshes tsar gadol lebrios ein gadol mimenu. The Sefer Chinuch uses that exact word, that busha is a tsar. So you have it once again. He quotes a number of sources. He goes on and on. We don't need to read all the sources here, but he quotes the Shari Tshuva next. And then he quotes the Gemara in Sota. Look at the famous Gemara in Sota. Noach lo the adam shiyapil atzman letoch kivshan ha'esh. A person would rather be thrown into a fiery furnace, the al yabim panei chaveru b'rabim, rather than to embarrass someone else. Right? And Tosfos says there, de mashma de hilchasahi velomi divrei agada derech haflaga. And that's not just like a nice statement. That's actually Jewish law. So we see how important it is. Yikeim shekein, Rav Stern concludes, hayanira de hamisbaish lecho bifnei acherim kaigavna pater melecho besuka. Therefore, it seems clear that if you're embarrassed in front of other people, that's considered a tsar, and that would make someone not required to sit in the sukkah. Interesting, no? This is very different than that Rav Hershel Schechter said. Now, Rav Schechter, that was a little bit of a polemic, right? He was trying to disagree with that rabbi and try to show that you can't just expand this to everything. I'm not saying that he would necessarily disagree with this perspective. But this shows how seriously the rabbis take mental health, emotional well-being, that Rabbi Stern is being so sensitive and saying, like, I get it. I could just say, oh, too bad. Like, don't be embarrassed. Just do the mitzvah. But it's embarrassing for you. We take the embarrassment seriously, and embarrassment can be considered part of the discomfort. Now, it is limited. He does limit it in some ways. So I'll show you. There is a limit. Let's go to section Bays here. Section number two, he says, first of all, he has a stronger source. Let's build it up a little bit more, he says, and then I want to give you one exception. He says, Ve'im amnam bivadai lav kol tsar v'lav kol bizyon shavim. I want to be a little bit nuanced here, though, because not every tsar, not every pain, and not every bizyon, not every embarrassment is the same. Like, some things for some people is a bigger deal than others. We have to be a little bit nuanced here and, like, ask some questions, right? It's not just like, oh, you feel, is that embarrassing for some person? People, then know when it should go. Like, there is a little bit of, subjectivity here, right? It says, Ayin shut chavos ya'ir. The Chavos Ya'ir writes, "The Pa'amim Amru Tzara Chamira." Sometimes we say Tzara is worse. This is quoting Gemara in Bava Basra on the test. Ulechein, but Omer Hachiluni Ein Bod Kimalchav. If someone says, "Feed me," we don't check after them. We say, you know what, you need to be fed, we feed them. We don't check after them. Masha'en came ba'omer kisuni. But if someone says, clothe me, we do check after them to see if it's legit. We need to see why they need to, we seem to see more about that. So we don't take everything the same. Mishum, the tsar kasha mibizyona, the tsar of not being able to eat is worse than the bizayon of the clothing. V'chein kamalam b'shulchan aruch miyaridea. V'ilu inyan skilas isha, but when it comes to stoning a woman in cases of capital punishment that they had back in the day, Gemara Sanhedrin Mem Hey says, Kechamim said, she'ein isham niskelas aruma v'taima mishum de bizyona gara mitzara de gufa. We're more, she wasn't stoned, undressed, because in some ways the bizayon is worse than the tsar. And we take that into account. So sometimes pain, emotional pain, suffering is taken into account more seriously than physical. Sometimes physical is taken into account more seriously. So there is room for subjectivity in each case. In fact, he gives an interesting proof for it here, where he quotes the concept of, there was the issue of, he quotes the Gemara in Eruvin, and he says it probably never happened, but if you would have a woman who was pregnant, who was convicted of capital punishment, that they would kill the baby first. They would abort the baby instead of killing them both together. And he says, why? He says the reason is matzilin osami nivol ayde tsar dehaka. We try to avoid that nivol mukach, the nivol gar mitzar de gufa. So sometimes you have nivel, that this type of embarrassment that's worse than the tsar v'yesh tsar degar minivel the lavko anfin shavim. It's not all the same. However, the one exception he says to this is in our case. He says it seems obvious that a filu b'makom tsar kol dehu, even if there would be a little bit of tsar, could go niridas kashamim, achis kalkel tavshil, that would ruin the meal. Shell pool, right? That ruined the soup. Kai gavna patar humi shiva sukkah. Since we know that when it comes to sukkah, even just a little bit of rain that would ruin the food. Mikol shekein b'tzar deboshes. So certainly, when it comes to embarrassing someone, al yedei derech chilaso hamishunat, since they eat strangely, mishum kach monea atzmo gami lecho b'misivas reim. Since they, because of that, they avoid eating in public at all times. Tavet tzar tefei shehu patar miachila b'sukkah kishi iefshar lo lecholsham. So if they are going to be careful not to eat ever in public because of the way they eat, and if we say that applies even just to little things as rain, so of course that would apply to this embarrassment. So even though we can have some room for nuance in discussing sometimes pain is worse than other pain, when it comes to the sukkah, we do not need to be so strict. So we have some room for leniency there. The one exemption though, where he does have a little bit of nuance, and he kind of goes back and forth on the halacha a little bit, is there is the fact that on the first night, he says, first of all, if there's any way that you could do, he says, for example, mikumakom bevada hechishe de efshar lo liyashiv besukah in panavel akir. What if you could just sit in the corner facing the wall? So if you could find a way to do it, and no one else will see you, that would be great. So therefore, especially so if you could be there, one of the first people to be there, and you could find a place where you can eat that would be better for you, where no one else can see you, that would be great, right? That would be. But if you're not able to do that, that's what he said. You're putter. But if you could find a way to still fulfill the mitzvah, we would love for you to be able to still fulfill the mitzvah, especially even if it's just for a minute. And also he says, this is all on every night of Sukkot, but Belil Rishon, on the first night, Shel Chag, the Das Ramah, Gam Mitztar, Chayav Lecho, Kezayis B'Sukkah. The Ramah says on the first night, you have to eat at least a little bit in the Sukkah. So in that case, Tzarichlis Amitz B'Yeser, if you go there and eat a little bit of the sukkah, that would be great. Okay, obviously it's for everyone, but if you could go there and he's able to eat on the first night, even just go have a bite and then go home, that would be ideal, if at all possible. Obviously, he already is exempt if it's totally not possible. But if he can on the first night, that's ideal. And finally, to conclude, he says, "Achar zman reisi." I think it's just important to point out because this gives one more case, one more example. And then I really want to hear your opinions here and discuss this. He says, "Achar zman reisi b'shut shari deya." And another tshuva, another posek says, "Mistapek b'makom shemizbayish al yedei halich l'sukkah." A person was embarrassed to go to the sukkah for a different reason. What was the reason there? Kagon sheyesh sham bal chovo kedome ihave kebechlal mitzar. What if you owe someone money and you know that they're going to be in the sukkah and you go there and you're embarrassed you don't have their money? It's not that they're going to beat you up. It's just that you're ashamed of yourself that you don't have their money yet. So is that a reason? Would that be a reason for a person to say that they are exempt? So you see now we have another case. And what he's pointing out here is that that rabbi there was not as lenient. So he says, and maybe Misugim the Sanhedrin, he quotes the Gemara Sanhedrin that we quoted above. He said, you know, that where we said that sometimes we're more concerned about physical concerns than emotional concerns. He quoted that, but he didn't quote the tshuva of the Chavos Ya'ir that we quoted above. And the Tosos, he says, look, if he would have seen that, he probably would have been more lenient. But he wasn't as lenient there. But he feels that that's probably because he didn't see all the sources necessarily. But he clearly says he would have been lenient there. So that's just another case. So now we have two cases where he says he would be lenient, where you have the case of the person who, because of their physical disability, where they're embarrassed by how they look, that would be a reason to exempt them. And now you have a case where someone's embarrassed by the other people there. But both of these are examples where being by themselves outside of the sukkah, that would solve the problem. So they are therefore exempt. So he concludes, I'll read his conclusion, and then let's hear your reaction. He says, he says, 4 points. Number one, misbayish chashiva mitzta'er. Someone who's embarrassed, that's considered pain. By Jewish law, considers embarrassment, emotional pain, right? That's considered to be pain, to be exempt from the sukkah. Lo kol suge busha shavim. Yes, not all types of embarrassment are the same. V'yesh busha shipachus mitzar. Some types of embarrassment is less than that kind of type of pain. But mishad derech achilaso mishuna miyod. But someone who eats in a very strange way. Achikototza mikach. But for whom, as a result of that, they are embarrassed. Lechol bifnei achirim. They're embarrassed to eat in front of other people. Harehu patur min asuka kishi yefshar lo lechol basuka rak bifnei achirim. If they have no other choice and they have to eat in front of other people, they are exempt from the sukkah. However, belil rishon shel chag chayev basuka gam chagavna. They still should try to eat something, very little, on the very first night of sukkahs. That would be ideal. So you have here an example where even though some of the sources we saw seem to imply that maybe psychological reasons would not be enough to exempt someone, you have sources here that do make it clear that we do take emotional pain very seriously and that someone therefore could be exempt from the sukkah because of their emotional pain that results from being around other people. And we should therefore take psychological factors into consideration indeed on sukkahs, and that is an important part of mitzvah. And I think it's important that we, you know, expand the conversation of pain to be suffering, right? It's not just physical pain of being annoyed by the flies or the weather, but it also has to do with a person's emotional health and their emotional well-being, and that is also an important factor that we take into when it comes to the obligation to sit in the sukkah. Yeah, no, thank you, Deborah, for bringing up that issue of housing insecurity and how, you know, person, you know, if someone is triggered by the sukkah or there's someone has a mental health or whatever it might be in which it really is difficult for them to be in that space, we now see that there is a category for them, which is mitzdayer. Mitzdayer applies to emotional well-being as well. So I think that that's a brilliant point to bring up. You asked a good question about, you know, can we apply this to other areas of halacha? And it seems like on the one hand, like that source we read at the beginning where it says, no, this is specifically only with sukkah. You know, this is a special sukkah halacha where you have this concept of mitzta'er and therefore, but then again, you see that Rav Stern, he quoted so many different areas where embarrassment is taken very, very seriously. And there's different types of embarrassment for different types of people. So you see that this really could be applied to many, many different areas. I mean, obviously there's a special unique issue with sukkah because that is like going into the sukkah causes pain. And therefore all you have to do to relieve the pain is leave the sukkah. So it's a very simple solution. Whereas other areas it might not be such a simple remedy But you see that since Rav Stern, I mean, all of this source material that he used to support his conclusion was not from the laws of Sukkah. It was much broader than that. So you see that this is relevant beyond Sukkahs, even though on the other hand, it is specific to Sukkah. It's a really interesting point. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.